Today's episode of the Sports Talk Garage podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing you with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get paid when you include an ad from Podgo. We recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Now, let's get the episode started.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 47 of the Sports Talk Garage podcast. I'm your host, as always, John, here with my buddy David. Matt's taking the night off dealing with some business tonight. David, how's it going?
No, it's great. Happy to be back after a week off. It feels good to be back behind the microphone. It's been a nice week on PTO last week, so that was enjoyable, but now it's back at it at work, and the grind never stops.
Yeah, you had PTO last week. I think Matt was traveling down south for a wedding, so congrats to his family for that one. I'm sure that was a nice day doing a little virtual wedding that, I guess, a select family and some virtual pieces to that. So
a little COVID wedding.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, I guess that's what we deal with now. But anyway, so let's go ahead and throw the green flag in and get into tonight's episode. We've had some interesting stuff that's happened in the last week. A lot to do with sports names. And some new sports teams. So let's start with the first one, and we'll get into maybe the more controversial one at the end. The first one, I think, big, at least for those. I know we have a lot of Charlotte listeners and a lot of people in the Southeast. And obviously, unless you've been hiding in a rock, you got to recognize that Major League Soccer is definitely starting to take hold in the U.S., starting to gain a lot of popularity. Really, about every major city in the U.S. is now, hopping on the Charlotte or the sports MLS bandwagon. So I think it makes sense for, Charlotte to get into this. You know, we've been talking about this forever, and it seemed like it was it felt like it was taking forever and ever and ever and ever. Like, I was like beginning to wonder, is this really going to happen? And then COVID hit, and that really just slowed everything down. But we finally got a name here in Charlotte for the Charlotte FC, Charlotte Football Club. What do you think about that, dude?
You know, it took long enough to get a name. I was excited for that just to actually appear. Now that I've had a couple weeks to, or a few days at least, to really think about it, it's not the most exciting logo, exciting name. It's very regal, very setback, very classic, which is nothing inherently wrong with it. But at the same time, it doesn't get me out of bed and makes me cheer and be like, oh yeah, I want that logo on everything I own. So it has a lot to do with the history of the city, not so much forward thinking, a lot to do with the past, which I get it. It's nice to commemorate Charlotte. It shares a lot with its organizational sister, the Panthers. David Tepper owns both, so I can understand the color scheme there.
Yeah.
I wish they would have gone a little different direction instead of making it so similar. But, you know, when you own both teams, I can understand why there's some similarity behind it.
Yeah, I think, like, even if they just changed, like, the darker color, you know, and had, like, a different shade of gray or whatever, you know, just to make a slight – but maybe keep the Carolina blue as kind of the tie-in piece, I think that would be cool. Of course, Panther blue isn't really Carolina blue. It's got that kind of slightly more of a greenish hue to it, in my opinion, more of a tealish color. But yeah, I think it would have been cool to do a dark gray and a true Carolina blue. But what can you do? I mean, as far as the name goes, what was your hope for the name if you had to pick? Gosh.
So I kind of like Monarchs. Carolina Monarchs was my top choice. I even submitted that to the now Charlotte FC Twitter page back when they were looking for suggestions. That got crossed off pretty early in the process. I kind of had a feeling they were going to go with Charlotte FC just because it encompasses the city. They're not really going with the all Carolina thing, which I thought they might initially, but it is what it is. You know, I'm not thrilled, but it's not a bad name. It seems pretty common. There's, I believe, eight teams in MLS that have the city and then either FC or SC for football club or soccer club formula. So they kind of went with, what everybody else is doing. We're going to copy that because it's a safe way to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing too, is that, yeah, I agree. I think they, like, I don't know. I like soccer having a mascot, that's, but I kind of like, a lot of times on, like, thinking Premier League soccer, which, I watch a lot of, it seems like, every team is known for their city. And if you talk about, Tottenham, I mean, Tottenham's kind of an exception. Because a lot of people refer to them as the Spurs, but when you think about a lot of the other big teams, Man U and Man City and Liverpool and Arsenal, you really think of, like, that one word name, and you don't really associate necessarily a mascot with it, even though a lot of them have, secondary names that, their fans obviously refer to them as, like, that, but you don't see much of that branding. It's more of that crest, which is basically what Charlotte did. They went with that kind of classic crest emblem. I'm not the biggest fan of the crown, like you're saying. I don't oppose a crown, but it kind of makes me wonder, like, why didn't they just do, like, Queen City, football club or something like that if you're gonna go with the crown? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I figured the crown, it has the four little points at the top, which kind of goes back to the original four words of the city. So it's kind of give me a nod to that as well. The minted, most teams might do like established 2022. They did minted as Charlotte had the city's, I guess, really the country's first mint back in the early 1800s. So kind of giving that nod to Charlotte without doing the Queen City. I guess they had to do a little bit of Queen City, but still go Charlotte just as a name.
Yeah.
Kind of throw a little bit in there for each one.
I was kind of, I didn't really like it at first, but then after talking to the guys from the Queen's English podcast, they were kind of telling me about the backstory of Charlotte Town FC. And when I first heard that name, I was like, I was like, people, no one's going to know what Charlotte Town is. But then I started hearing more about the history of Charlotte, which is comical that two guys from London or from the
Completely.
UK are telling two guys that grew up in Charlotte the history of Charlotte. I mean, I was like, oh, that's kind of embarrassing. But obviously, kudos to them for learning, the city and learning more about the city that they live in. But yeah, I was like, that's it grew on me pretty quickly when I started, like, hearing more about, kind of the history of that name and stuff. So that, I think, would have been cool, would have been a little bit unique, and maybe gone a slightly against the other, eight or so that do this. But yeah, so I mean, at least we got something. I'm kind of sad it's been pushed back to 2022, but I get it. Tepper doesn't want to have an empty stadium. Yeah, I guess I can't blame him for that. And you have one shot
Certainly.
really to,
Make that first impression.
yeah, exactly. So I mean, I'm disappointed that they had to obviously push it back a year. But it looks like of the expansion teams that were coming in, I think Austin, I believe, is the only one moving forward. Which we all obviously saw down at Circuit of the Americas. They've got a beautiful stadium. It's small.
Yes. But it's beautiful.
But I think, like, that's the thing about MLS. It kind of reminds me of, like, some of those, like, minor league hockey arenas and stuff like that, where I mean, I hate to say this because, but Matt's not on here, so I don't know, who
Just
knows?
do it.
But, like, like a Cameron Crazy kind of feel, where it's like a small field, but it's just packed full of insane fans that are screaming their lungs off, and you got, the guys playing the drums and, the horns and everything else. Like that, honestly, could be a much better feel and vibe than some of these giant stadiums and stuff like that, depending on the size of the crowd. But so I think, I mean, the Austin stadium down there looks beautiful, and it's right there, obviously, at the track. They've got a huge music venue there. I mean, they really picked a good place to put that as kind of a centralized sports hub in Austin. But yeah, so I'm looking forward, to hopefully getting on the pitch. I know I saw something that they had, like, 28,000 ticket reservations already
Yeah,
for, and
that's
that's.
fast.
Yeah,
That's
and that's
good.
not even, like, I believe that's, I don't think that's actually even number of tickets. I think that's actually just reservations, because you only, when I was looking at it the other day, you only buy a reservation, like, one reservation, whether you want one ticket or four tickets, you buy one reservation. And they made it sound like it was 28,000 reservations.
Wow.
So that could
So
mean that there's actually, let's assuming that, 80%, maybe not that, but even if a decent number of that, actually transfer over to season tickets in 2022, that could be quite interesting.
And so that's just say everybody bought two. That's 56,000 tickets. So take 80% of that. You're easily at 40,000 people at a game
Yeah, I mean,
already,
you're
and we're
right.
still a
You're,
year out.
yeah, you're half. I mean, you're already filling up half the stadium right there, because you guys have, what, 72-ish and change,
70,
somewhere
about
in there?
72, a little over
Okay.
that for now.
So I think that's pretty cool. And again, like I said, I just mentioned a little bit ago, but as we've been chatting about this, I know we've really talked it up on Twitter and on our website, things like that, which definitely go check that out to learn more about us. But you know, we've really expanded our kind of group here in Charlotte to some various different podcasts. And you know, more to come on that. But one of them is the Queen's English, since we're talking about soccer. And these guys are awesome. They have a wonderful intro. They really know their stuff. They know MLS. They know soccer through and through. And you know, I know they're disappointed as well that the season's been pushed back, but I know they've got plenty of content lined up. So definitely go over and give them a follow. Like I said, they're extremely knowledgeable about the sport. And you know, if you want to be part of that ground up, you know, day one, kind of like a lot of people were with Panthers, you know, I was here from day one. You need a podcast to go with that you can really follow the team and get recaps and just learn more about the players and everything else. You might as well start now, now that we've got a name. And so go check out the Queen's English soccer podcast, which I think they might be, hint, hint, they might be changing that to the football podcast now,
Yeah.
just to go with the name of the
No,
team.
it's
But
fitting. I hope so.
yeah,
Yeah,
I absolutely
definitely
do.
give them a listen. They are really good, very knowledgeable, as you said, and they're a lot of fun banter back and forth as well.
Yeah, they have not sure how long they've known each other, but you can tell they've got some really
They've got
good
some
camaraderie.
chemistry there.
Yeah, exactly. So all right, so moving out of Charlotte, let's go all the way to the other side of the country. Seattle Kraken. What do you think about that name?
Dude, I absolutely love it, and I feel like the rest of America does too. From that intro video they gave with, oh man, the whole thing, the colors, the logo, the branding, the marketing, everything about it. I am a fan of this. And I'm not from Seattle. I've never even been to Seattle. I want to buy a hat or a shirt just because of the logo. It is that cool.
Have a couple of buddies from Seattle, and I know they're excited to get some additional sports up there. You know, obviously a big sports talk. Speaking of MLS, I mean, they have a hardcore MLS following up there as well. But yeah, I think it's a pretty cool name. It's different, you know. It's not like the traditional, you know, pick an animal name kind of deal. And you know, so I think it's pretty unique. It feels cool. It feels powerful. Yeah, I think they did well. I saw something the other day that I think they had already outpaced merchandise sales of like the highest of like any expansion team in recent history or something like that.
Yes, and also on social media, within their first week of that video dropping, they had 8 million impressions, 1.7 million engagements, and 5 million
Jeez.
Twitter views. Within 24 hours, their social media following grew 157%.
Holy cow.
So people there, I mean, they haven't had hockey since 1924. That's when the Seattle Metropolitans left. I mean, they're hungry for it, especially after, the NBA team left about a decade ago. They want some more
Yeah.
sports, and this is fulfilling that void there. But
Well, I feel like Vegas kind of proved. So I'll be the first to admit, like when they announced that there was going to be an NHL team in Vegas, I kind of laughed at it. I thought, okay, this is going to be so gimmicky. It's going to be a road game or a home game for every road team coming in there. So people are just going to fly out there because it's Vegas. And outside of really like a couple of teams, thankfully my Blackhawks tend to show up quite well down there, even though they've basically kicked our butts. I feel like about every time we played them, it's been amazing how good that team is from the very beginning. But yeah, I mean, I've been impressed of just how many true actual fans that they have, and some of them may not be living in Vegas. Maybe they're just like that's their team. But I mean, they do an amazing job selling out that arena,
Yes,
and
they
the
do.
local people really support it, which I honestly didn't expect that to happen. But they've done a great job of kind of their marketing and stuff like that. And you know, it'll be interesting to see if they support, you know, the Raiders, obviously the same way. I feel like they will,
It will.
because the Raiders are just such an iconic team. So I think, and obviously brand new stadium, I mean, say they are, I think a lot of people are gonna you know, find a way to support that team. But yeah, I feel like they proved to the NHL, okay, we could go to some abstract places and people will support this. So
And it's close enough to Canada, just short drive to Vancouver and right along the rest of Canada. So plenty of Canadians there as well will definitely hop on the bandwagon if they're not a team or a fan of a local team there.
that's a good point. Yeah, because I mean, the Canadian team, obviously Canadians live and breathe hockey, and you know, they've kind of few and far between these days on teams. So although I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of it, the now expanded Stanley Cup playoffs is up there in Canada in their bubble, And man, that's been fun to watch. I've been so freaking happy to watch hockey. My Hawks lost last night. They're tied up 1-1 the series, but oh man, a lot of offense. It seems like everybody forgot to play defense, but it's been
People are just
exciting to
happy to
watch.
be back on the ice and just get some points, score some goals. So
Yeah.
defense will come in time.
And I think they and the MLS and NBA have kind of proven, okay, this is what a bubble's supposed to look like, unlike Major League Baseball. So we'll see. I feel like it's only a matter of time before it's gonna hit my socks, but well, I'm holding out hope. But yeah, I'm excited about the team. I mean, I won't support them, but I give them props for having
They've done,
a pretty cool name, and definitely unique and out there. So yeah, all
yeah,
props to that.
they definitely did a good job with
I
that.
like it a heck of a lot better than the Seahawks, I'll give you that.
I'll go with that too. The
Yeah.
logo, I mean, one thing I am looking at right now, it even has the Eye of the Beast and something in that little S. There's actually a little tentacle up in that S, which is pretty cool as well.
Yep,
I just
yep.
noticed. So they definitely put a lot of thought into this.
I feel like that's the only bad thing, like going back to Charlotte. I feel like they put a lot more thought and time into their name and logo than Charlotte did. Don't tell Tepper that I said that, but no, I feel like ours is I mean, it's classically simple,
It is.
but
I mean, it's
I
Charlotte.
listen, I'll take that over the Bobcats any day of the
Oh,
week.
gosh.
So I'd rather them go simple and straightforward and to the point than to pick that hideous mess
Oh,
again. So
that'll be like Tupper naming it after himself somehow. We went that
well, we should like throw something on Twitter, like what would
route.
Tepper's name be?
We'll do that.
Let's see. All right, and then obviously let's move back all the way across back across the US to the East Coast. Probably the most talked about name change in recent weeks, and not for a good reason. The Washington football team now, as they're now referred to as.
The football team.
I mean, well, I have some thoughts, but I wanted to. What do you? What's your overall vibes of the whole situation there?
So Dan Snyder bought the team in 99, somewhere there. So he's had it for roughly 20 years. And it feels like every year this topic comes up of need to change the team name. And every year he says, no, I'm not doing it. Well, it finally got to the point where money got involved when Target and Walmart, Amazon said, we're not selling your products. FedEx said, hey, we're not going to be on the field. It's not going to be FedEx Field. And he's like, oh, I'm going to lose money in sponsorships. Okay, I'll do whatever I can to keep getting money in. So obviously went through that in. For something this big of this magnitude that has such a history that the team does, you don't just want to rush it and pick a new team name. So something I love and don't love is they're taking the time to do it proper, get assessments, get fan engagement here, branding tie-ins with the local city or the area of what they want to call it. So that's good. But all the merchandise they're selling of like, hey, the football team, or just the football team. One, it's kind of lame. I don't like it. But they're going to use all this money of like limited merchandise in a year that's going to be discontinued, which they could easily use, to pay for the rebranding cost. I'm not a fan of it, but I don't really know what else you would pick for just a 1 year hiatus from going from the Redskins to team to be named later.
Yeah, so I guess I'm pretty much with you on that one. I mean, I think they're finally doing the right thing in changing the name. It should have been done a long time ago. We talked about this a few weeks back about the different teams across the US that use a reference to Native Americans and how some are very blessed and have very intricate positive ties with the Native Americans in their region and have that close relationship and their blessing and everything else and really contribute to through charitable work and things like that. And then there's the exact opposite of the side of the spectrum with Washington. So I kudos to them for making the change. It's a long time coming, probably about 20 years too late. Actually, it's more than 20 years. I mean, but we'll give Snyder a pass that he's only at it for 20 years, so it's 20 years too late. Probably should have been changed years and years and years ago. But I know that they were getting a lot of hate online and on Twitter about the name, and just and I'm sure a lot of it is just because people are just looking to hate on something right now, and obviously that's an easy target. But I mean, I agree with you. Like, at least they didn't rush into something and pick something really stupid that is now, because once you change it, once you go trademark and stuff like that, I mean, you don't want to be changing it again in a year. So
No.
at least they, I honestly thought they were going to keep the name and through the season, and then, you know, make an announcement, hey, we will come up with something, you know, throughout this mm-hmm. year, and maybe at the end of the season, or maybe right at the end of the season, we'll announce a new name, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I don't understand the hate that at least they went ahead and changed. Like, it's lame. Yeah, it's a dumb name, but at least it's like we took away the, you know, the issue.
Yeah.
And like one I said, thing. Maybe I'm not the right person to be speaking on the matter because it, you know, doesn't, you know, I don't have a direct connection to the issue there. But I mean, yeah, at least they did it, you know. And, you know, I think going with the number on the helmet, like it's kind of a flashback to like college football, you know, kind of has that Bama mm-hmm. feel. I don't know. Like, at least they got it done. That's how I feel about it. I know people don't agree with that, but.
They got it done, and you know it's an. I feel like Redskins are continually an easy target to pick on, so people do it either if they don't like them or if they like it. The Cowboys are always going to pick on them anyway. It is what it is. I'm glad they didn't rush it, but they should have at least picked something a little better than football team.
I mean, however, what would you? Have you?
Gosh,
anything come to mind?
I mean, my mind goes political since it's outside of, I mean, right at DC, right outside of DC, but nobody really wants a political name for a sports team. So, Senators. I didn't get that. Could you try? Yeah.
Siri agrees.
One thing that I think is monumental with this, though, and it's probably the first of a domino effect, this could be a really big watershed moment for U.S. sports. We're in a time period right now where people kind of have power, and sponsors are realizing collectively they also have power by willing to withhold money or not sell merchandise. A professor at Darden School of Business at UVA recently said, essentially, if a name is offensive to any group, it could be open to change. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 5 years, we see more teams that maybe aren't even having problems, but just being proactive, like, you know what, now's the right time to change something before somebody finds a problem with our team name. So I think we're going to see something else just kind of out of the blue to be like, okay, we're changing our name from this to, you know, whatever we just, it's not going to surprise me other than surprise that it happens, but it won't surprise me that, you know, some team out there is going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, we're definitely in the new kind of realm when it comes to stuff like this, but yeah. So I guess let's move on to maybe a slightly more, fun topic outside of the Washington football team. We started thinking, okay, well, you know, we're talking name changes, new teams, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we said, all right, let's go out and try to find some unique team names in any sport. And what'd you come up with, David?
So this one, not really personal, but I have a colleague who has a relative who works for this organization down in Georgia called the Savannah Bananas. Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Nice.
It is a baseball team, the Coastal Plains League, which is a wood bat collegiate summer league. So not like minor league baseball, just college kids who are kind of top of the game coming to play in the summer. But it's a pretty cool logo, and I'm basing this just off the logo in the jersey. It's a yellow banana with a bat, kind of an angry face, highlighted in green and blue. I think it looks kind of cool. And then their uniforms have white and yellow, but they also have this like pinstriped or horizontal pinstripe yellow and white jersey, which I think just looks hilarious and amazing at the same time. So I don't know if the name has a history in the Savannah area, if bananas were grown there or a big crop at some point, but I love the name and the logo. So yeah. Savannah Banana.
Yeah, the one that immediately came to mind to me when I started thinking, like, obviously, you know, minor league baseball is an easy one because they always, a lot of them have pretty interesting names. One that immediately stood out to me that I always remember, and probably because the Charlotte Knights play them, is the Montgomery Biscuits.
Yeah.
There's something about that name that I'm like, I would feel so embarrassed to play for this team. Like, you know, the mascot, it's literally a cartoon biscuit with some eyes and a mouth and little, you know, arms and legs sticking out. I'm like, this is just sad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks like the tongue is a little slab of butter on there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
And like, you know, they've got it on their hats and everything. You know, it's like the jersey says Biscuits on it. And I'm like, this is just sad. Like, it just, I don't know.
Can you imagine wearing that hat or shirt out somewhere? People have no idea what you're wearing. Like, what is Biscuits? What are those?
Right. I feel like you're like people that are fans of that team are really either extremely embarrassed of it or extremely proud of it. Like, it's got to be one spectrum or the other. Awesome. I don't think you can be in between on the Biscuits.
Butter up, go Biscuits.
I found an interesting article from mentalfloss.com, which is kind of interesting, but it was said the top 25 rejected nicknames for pro sports. There was some interesting ones in there. The first one, number one on the list, was the San Jose Rubber Puckies. and I guess that was a proposal for instead of the Sharks. Vancouver Mounties. This one's terrible. The Arizona Phoenix. I'm like, oh,
that's lame.
Kansas City Mules, Minnesota Blue Ox. Like, some of these aren't terrible. Orlando Challengers. I could see why, perhaps, you know, given that the space shuttle and its outcome of that one, I could see why. New York Skyliners, I guess that was like...
Yeah, from the city skyline.
Yeah, I guess that was an original proposal for the Mets. I could see that one's not bad. Washington Sea Dogs, come on.
Florida. That's Washington State and not D.C.
No, it's D.C., yeah.
Oh, it is D.C., yeah. Wow.
It was one of the proposals before they picked the Bullets. Florida Flamingos, let's see. They got some... Let's see... Atlanta Peaches. That was the one.
A Peaches. That's fitting.
A proposed name instead of the Falcons.
Oh, for the NFL. Oh, that's that's more of a minor league baseball name.
Exactly. Could you imagine having that? Peaches? I mean, that's as bad as having a biscuit on there. The Boston Unicorns. There you go. NBA instead of the Celtics.
Wow. It must have been an 8-year-old girl who submitted that one, I hope.
I'm like, oh, man. That could have been... That could have been interesting. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting to see. And certainly I'm sure there's some other ones out there. But, yeah, Atlanta Peaches. Could you imagine having the Panthers' biggest rival being the Peaches?
Man, that would at least you'd win the conversation piece that time.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Not win every game, but the conversation piece.
No coming back from that one, you know. No. So, anyways, all right, on that note, let's take a quick second to thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back after this break.
How many times while you have been manscaping have you nicked or nearly trimmed off your wiener schnitzel in the twins? Hey, I'm Christy, and with 30 years experience teaching men how to thin out their forest in their yonder region, I am so excited to tell you about this revolutionary Lawn Mower 3.0. The ceramic blades prevent the manscaping accidents that leave you unable to use your most favorite appendage. Oh, and gentlemen, it also keeps a 90-minute charge for those of you that haven't trimmed in quite a while. You'll need every second of that 90 minutes. Let's be real, though. No one, especially your significant other, wants to have to weed through your overgrown forest to find their favorite play toy. So order now at manscaped.com and enter the promo code podcast20 and receive 20% off plus free shipping. Serious, Bushy Man. Order now.
Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 47 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. And I'm here, John, here with my co-host, David. Matt's taking the night off, doing some business. Just a quick reminder, you can, if you're interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Sports Garage Pod. And then also, like we mentioned earlier, you can find us on our website. You can learn more about us, all our recent tweets, our bios. You can also hear about our expansion with other podcasts and our kind of collaboration with them. All that information you can find at sportstalkgarage.com. Again, it's www.sportstalkgarage.com. So, definitely go check that out, and yeah, we appreciate it. David is our Twitter master, so he's on there. I feel like more. I don't know when you sleep exactly, David, but
yeah, if it isn't sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like I think you tweet more than you sleep, but
yeah, it feels like it some days.
But yeah, we got some really cool stuff on there. We're gaining a ton of followers, so definitely go check that out. All right, so we just got done talking about sports branding and names and unique sports names, some better than others, some unique ones, and some that didn't quite make the cut for pretty obvious reasons, a.k.a. Atlanta Peaches. So let's move on back to football realm, since we were kind of just briefly talking about the Washington football team. A lot of NFL team or players are deciding to opt out. And honestly, it's not just NFL. We're starting to see quite a bit of MLB, MLB players that are opted mm-hmm. out. Seems like NHL and NBA have been fairly set aside from this, I think, because of their bubbles.
Yeah.
But NFL and MLB have both decided that there will be no bubbles. It took a whole, 4 days into the season for a massive outbreak to happen in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We've since prompted even additional players to opt out, some decently well-known guys as well. So going back to the NFL, David, who's kind of the biggest ones that you've seen that have opted out, and what kind of impacts you think this is going to have?
So as of noon on Tuesday, August 4th, there's been somewhere between 45 and 50 players total in the NFL who have opted out. They have until this Thursday, August 6th, and I can imagine more are going to, and there's probably going to be some more big names making that last-minute decision. The Patriots are definitely leading the way with 5 or 6, which is somewhat surprising. Patrick Chung is not going to play this year. Devin Funchess from the Packers. Nate Solder from the Giants. Very understandable. He has a family member with cancer and doesn't want to put them in danger. Starlu Tulele with the Bills. The Chiefs even have Damian Williams sitting out, who just won a Super Bowl. So it's going to hurt them a little bit. And there's a few other names on there who everybody's heard of. And then obviously those guys who are the backups, the special teamers who maybe have a young child at home, have family, and don't want to risk them. Yeah, this is really tough. And it's tough on the players. Certainly they'd rather wait until somewhere between training camp and that first game. But the teams really need to know ahead of time, like, hey, who do we have on this team to plan for the season?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the big ones for me, obviously, that hit my close to home is Eddie Goldman.
Eddie Goldman. Tackle.
One of the best nose tackles in the game, and, decided to make the call to opt out. My Sox, going back to baseball, Michael Kopech made the decision to opt out for the season. Some additional information came out about that. Obviously, he's coming out from Tommy John last year, and then news broke that he and his wife are expecting. So I'm like, all right, well, that makes sense. I can understand that, mm-hmm. you don't want to, especially when there's not a bubble. That's the thing. It's like when you could be as safe as you can be. And you can do all the right things, but when you're talking
other
about
people.
And when you got 50 something players, you've got staff, you got coaching, you got everything else, media people, there's a lot of variables in place. Actually, probably more. Think of my current life and how much exposure that I have, and I've had my own personal scare with this deal, and I have virtually no exposure to anybody, so.
Yeah.
Think if you're traveling every week, you've got, hundreds of potential, contact points when you talk about these players, the coaches and staff, plus all their families, their kids, their relatives, everything else. That it only takes one person, which is kind of what we saw, with Miami and things like that. So, I don't blame these guys for making the decision, especially those that are making good or have already made good money, because – Now, what's your understanding about the contract situation? Is it basically just bumping that to another year?
So I believe it just bumps it. There's two levels. There's the high-risk players and low-risk, which is determined by the team. So the high-risk can be if a player is diagnosed with any of the 15, I guess, top CDC diagnosis, then you're considered high-risk. You can get $350,000, not repaid, not taken out of your salary, just a stipend. If you don't and you just voluntarily sit out just for safety precautions personally, I think it's $150,000. It does count against your salary cap and against your salary, though. And, if you don't ever come back, I don't know if you have to repay that. Kind of along the same lines, though, I can't imagine being a GM, VP of football ops, whatever team is constructing a roster every year. I mean, that's already a moving puzzle with variables of contract lengths and dollar amounts. You got to look at depth at each position, free agency, and the draft. You got to think short term of prepping for an upcoming season and long term for, consistent success of getting to the playoffs. And this is applicable for NFL and MLB. Then you throw in retirements, which you can kind of think about injuries, which, you know, there's that next man up philosophy. But this is a whole new variable thrown in that you're not really prepared for. When this player that you're expecting to show up doesn't show up, I mean, do you just play the next guy who's younger to get him some experience? Do you sign somebody who maybe sat out a year? That's got to be tough to construct a team. But I guess if this is the year to not do well, everybody else is doing the same thing. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, I don't fault any player for sitting out when they have a family, they a significant other at home. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for the teams if a guy's not showing up. Even my own team, who I cheer for, if a guy's sitting out, I don't fault him at all for that.
Yeah, no, you can't in this situation.
No.
I mean, there's plenty of things in the past you'd fault a guy for, but you know, this one, I think no. Anyone could get a pass on this particular deal. I think it's interesting, you know, like as a GM and think baseball or you know, football obviously as well, you're always kind of thinking, all right, what's my roster going to look like? Mm-hmm. What's my depth going to look like? You know, both on the baseball side in a typical season because of 162 games and the football side just because of the amount of injuries. I mean, you have to have depth. Yeah. On both of those sports tremendously because you know you can't have guys playing day in day out. You know, on the baseball side of things, you got to give your guys some rest, especially going through you know the dog days of summer, as they say. You know, when you're playing, you know, down in Atlanta or whatever, and it's you know 98 degrees and 80-90% humidity, stuff like that. So, you know, these guys are you know they you got to rest them. But you know, I was thinking the other day, like on the baseball side of things, I wonder, are we really going to see any kind of like are we going to see any trades this year? You know, especially like a shortened season, who knows, like with baseball, who knows if we're going to get 60 games, honestly, the way it's looking right now, it honestly seems a little doubtful that we're going to get 60 games. Would you be that desperate to try to make a run for it, especially with the expanded playoffs? You know, you already have a higher chance than ever before of getting into the playoffs, mathematically speaking. You know, would you give up a prospect or something like that for sure? Like, I don't know. That's it's gonna be interesting.
Well, and then you think whoever wins, how is the public gonna view it? Did you truly win a championship this year? It's like, oh well, that's year everything was off, so it's not looked at the same as maybe the year before, or 4 or 5 years down the road. Then I think Rob Manfred even said a few days ago that he's even considering shutting down the season if they can't get things under control. So,
yeah.
One, that's kind of crazy to think about because they're operating in without that bubble, so different parameters than soccer and basketball. But if you're a team, you got to keep that in your mind. Like, well, how many more games do we have left? Do we make a trade knowing it could be shut down in a week or two?
Yeah. I think like either sport, you got to come out swinging for the fences. I mean, every game is really important in football. And normally, obviously, in baseball, you've got some time to recover. But, I mean, really, you've got to come out and you've got to be hitting the ground running. There's no ramp up here. There's no starting the season slow. If you start slow, it's game over. Because, I mean, yeah, we hope we get 16 games in football. But, I mean, going into, you know, flu season, cold season, you know, things like that, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, if we didn't get something like 18 games.
No.
But
– and. Yeah, like you said earlier, players can do all they can to stay safe, but you know, stopping to get gas, stopping at a restaurant to pick up food, or especially traveling, even if they're chartering a flight, you're going into a hotel, walking through areas you're not familiar with and different touch points along the way, and other people still like, hey, there's a football team here. I want to go see them and get close. Still a lot of variables that you can't plan for.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned Rob Manfred a second ago. I mean, if I'm a baseball player, that guy has royally peed me off this last week. You know, he came out and he said that we are playing, but players need to be better. And dude, you're the one that's deciding. You're the commissioner. You're mm-hmm. the one that's deciding on the bubble and everything else. I mean, you're sitting here blaming the players who are the ones out there, you know, again, playing the sport and really earning, you know, you the money. I mean, a lot of these guys are getting paid well, but there's also a lot of guys that aren't really getting. There's a lot of young baseball players right now. Like, I feel like the young generation is more than I feel like ever in my lifetime that the younger players, you know, the early 20-year-olds are playing, and these guys aren't making a lot of money.
They're
still on original deals, draft type deals, things like that. So, you know, if they're lucky, they got some kind of half a semi-decent signing bonus, but you know, they're not out there making Mike Trout money and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're away from their families. You think baseball, 60 games. I mean, the time when they want to be with their families, you know, probably more than ever before, you know, or, you know, normal times 100 just because of everything going on. Now they got to be away from them, and you know they're putting it's more you know stress on their families, their you know significant others, mm-hmm. kids, things like that. And then you got the commissioner blaming you for the outbreaks. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, dude, put a bubble in. I don't understand why we couldn't that you know the original idea of them going to spring training and playing Arizona. You know in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been out there. There's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I mean, they're not big, but you don't need fans. That's I mean.
No. Just need a field.
Yeah, you need a field. So, a field. And the facilities out there are phenomenal. I mean, they're absolutely state of the art. The training facilities, the practice fields. I mean, you name it. The hospitality that they have, the medical equipment, it's top notch. I mean, it is as good as being in their home stadium when it comes to that stuff. And without fans, it doesn't matter. Like that, no. You could have been in a bubble. And all those, I mean, like out in Arizona, they're all within basically, you know, an hour or two of each other max. Most of them are pretty clustered together. So, I mean, you can get out there, you know, right in the Phoenix area and you could hit, you know, you got, geez, I feel like a dozen stadiums right there within just a short driving distance of each other. So that would have been, in my opinion, a lot better option.
After, yeah. Hindsight's 2020, but seeing what basketball and soccer have done and how effective it's been and, you know, no cases for either of them so far. I wish baseball would have considered that a little bit stronger instead of doing what they are.
I mean, the NFL still has some time to you know, try to implement something. But, I mean, I feel like the NFL is going to be tough just because of the size of the rosters and things like that. And the fact that, you know, unlike in, you know, a world of sports down in Disney or unlike in Arizona where you have a cluster of fields together, you really don't have a cluster of football fields anywhere that I'm aware of. I mean, I still think it'd be kind of cool to like, if they were, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, some of the bigger, like maybe SEC schools that have like multiple practice fields and things like that. I think it'd be pretty cool to see, you know, NFL, you know, I'm thinking like going down to training camp, you know, that's been a tradition in the last few years for mine and going down to these tiny little schools, these colleges and playing, you know, seeing training camp on their fields. I think it'd be cool to see an NFL game, you know, it'd be like, basically feel like backyard football, kind of remind you of your, you know, no stands, no anything, just literally a field, two goalposts and some lines. They call it the world. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be interesting. I know I was reading an article today that there's still – it was kind of a team-by-team breakdown. I think it was on ESPN of which teams are saying that they believe they will have fans in the stands this year. I know Carolina was one of those. I mean, you're a Carolina guy. What do you think? I mean, I know they're talking about, like, what, 25% capacity or something?
I think it was 20 to 25%. No – I mean, it's basically season ticket holders are the only ones who can get tickets, but it's limited to games. You're not getting your seat. I doubt all season ticket holders are even going to want to go. And even if every team decides, you know what, we're doing 25%, it's probably going to depend on the city where you are and what cases look like. Numbers are going to vary depending on, you know, area of the country, what people are doing. So it's not going to be surprising when one team has to shut it down, another team is able to have some fans there.
Yeah, I mean, I was you know, listening to Chicago Sports Radio the other day in the car, and they were talking about this. And, you know, right now, like, governor up there has not, you know, Pritzker hasn't made it, you know, approval to have fans in any capacity. They've canceled all large gatherings, everything else. So, I mean, right now the Bears are saying, yeah, we'd like to, we'll start with PSL holders, then go to season ticket holders and, you know, try to, you know, if maybe they get, you know, 20,000 in that place or something like that, even though, you know, that would still, it's a smaller stadium. So that would still feel like a decent amount of people, I feel like. But, you know, if Pritzker doesn't sign the paper, then it doesn't matter what the Bears want. It's not going to happen. So
it's out of their control.
Yeah. So, and then on the Sox side, you guys know I'm a, you know, White Sox season ticket holder. I mean, they've pretty much refunded my entire season. I don't think we're quite at 100% yet, but I feel like it's got to be pretty darn close because I just got another refund just this last week. So.
So are they just doing refunds like on a per game basis, or is it like, hey, for this month, no, here you go, here's your money?
So when it first started, it was, well, they didn't do anything, which peed a lot of people off, and not just the White Sox. It was a Major League Baseball and Ticketmaster decision. It wasn't teams specific. They weren't issuing any refunds for any games, even like if you purchase season tickets or a single game, you know, even though that game had been long past, you weren't getting any refunds. So I'm pretty sure Major League Baseball and Ticketmaster, someone threatened them with a class action lawsuit, which that woke them up, and that, you know, suddenly a couple of days later, we get an email saying like, "Hey, things are being reviewed, blah blah blah." And then at that point, when Major League Baseball did make a decision to start issuing refunds and ordering teams to do the refunds, it started at it was basically a month by month thing. Okay. So the first one, I think it was like April and May were together, and then we had like, let's see, well, I guess I take that back. I mean, I just got the refund in July, so I feel like there was nothing in June. They did send an email out in June asking if we wanted a refund or if we just wanted credit towards the next season, which I was like, in my personal opinion, I was like, I'd rather just have the refund because then I got to, you know, that's
a lot of flying.
Yeah, and that's like, well, it's like it's something else I got to keep up with. Like, okay, like they credited me this much amount of money, and like, you know, then I got to make sure they applied it correctly. And I'm like, I just don't need to deal with that. Like, you know, just give me the refund. And, you know, they said, listen, your seat's secure. You know, the seat belongs to you. It doesn't matter what you do. It's yours for next season. So that's, I was good. Like, well, it's just less hassle. I mean, just give me the refund. So I did get a decent size refund just this last week, which I believe would cover, I feel like, probably more than just a couple of months based on the dollar amount. So, yeah, I don't think we're 100% yet, but I feel like we're still holding on. I did hear that the Field of Dreams game has been officially postponed. Which I'm glad it was. I mean, that's an event you want to have fans in that one. I mean, you're only talking about like 5,000 or 6,000 fans. Yeah, yeah. You want to have somebody there to do that in an empty cornfield. It'd still be kind of cool, but it's not. I mean, let's just wait next year and be done with it. But anyways, all right. So that's a lot of. Any last thoughts on COVID?
No, I'm done with COVID.
The one thing I was telling my wife about. I was like, if I was Major League Baseball, like if I'm a manager of a team, I got to be thinking like, do I want my pitchers to be around each other? Do I want my second baseman to be around each other? Like, I feel like I'd want to have one of every guy, like, and you know, like almost having like, you know, your, what's the term they use in business, like your business continuity plan, which basically says like we have separation, like. All right, you got like one second baseman, one third baseman, one first baseman together, blah, blah, blah. But like never two of the same player ever together in case somebody gets sick. I mean, going back to football, I mean, you want to have a strong backup quarterback. But this year, I mean, you might really, really think about signing because it's not just the risk of injury. Like week one, I mean, preseason week one, your guy could show up and unfortunately get sick. And that could, you know, if you're not prepared, jeez, that could be a season changer right there, even more than injury sick. So
yeah, that torn ACL or broken arm isn't really contagious to another guy, but this, you got to keep some distance and group everybody's little family units. Stay away from your position as much as possible.
Yeah, that's the thing. Typically, you'd want to have those wide receiver meetings and everything else, and D line meetings and all that. But right now, it's like I don't know. This is gonna be over Zoom or something.
Lots of Zoom.
Yeah. All right. So the last time before we close the night, this was interesting. I did not expect to see this happening. You know, we talked going back to last season, the resurgence of the XFL that was, obviously owned by Vince McMahon and the WWE. And, I guess did they actually file bankruptcy when COVID hit?
They did. Which I didn't understand because McMahon said he was willing to put up to $500 million in. He wasn't anywhere close to that in bankruptcy. So I was a little confused.
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, honestly, I feel like they could have still had the season. Mm-hmm. Especially early on. I mean, they were playing like before COVID, I felt like was really, really big here in the States. And, you know, I feel like they could have just said, all right, no fans. And they probably could have gotten a good chunk of that season or something like that in, since they were, you know, obviously off season from kind of any other sports at the time. And honestly, I think I guess they did the right thing from a safety standpoint. I mean, I'm not the one to judge that, but, you know, if they could have worked it out, like the popularity could have been through the roof. Cause they would have been literally them and e-racing would have been the only thing on TVs at that time. So, Yeah, it was interesting. But obviously, was it yesterday that we got an announcement that it's been purchased? And I'm pretty excited about who purchased it. We have Redbird Capital, Danny Garcia, and then we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who obviously is the biggest name of them all on that list, that have purchased it for a whopping, and this one actually really surprised me, $15
million. Yeah, $15 million, which Dwayne Johnson has a little over 220 to his name. So, I mean, he alone could have done this, but yeah, Danny Garcia, she's kind of a mogul in her own right. It's his ex-wife, but they are phenomenal business partners, even if it didn't work out, you know, romantic partners, I guess. But they have a lot that they've accomplished through movies, through wrestling. She even manages a couple other wrestlers and, you know, movie stars. So she knows what she's doing. I did not see anybody purchasing this. I kind of forgot about the XFL, to be honest, for a little bit. All of a sudden, this news pops up like, whoa, The Rock bought it.
Yeah, and for $15 million. Yeah, I think having Danny Garcia on there is smart. I mean, she's proven that, like, clearly has a very, very strong business sense to her, and you know, the management side of things, you know, understands the numbers, understands how to be successful. And, you know, obviously, I don't know if she's done too much on the promoting side. I know that she was kind of, you know, together on the Hollywood side, but I mean, from a promotional standpoint, I have a feeling that's not a bad selection to have on your camp.
No. I mean, she does a lot of talent management, and I believe she worked for, oh gosh, some really big financial company for a while as one of their VPs. So she definitely has the business acumen to, you know, do this and let The Rock kind of be the face or the voice of the team, or I guess the league, technically, not a team.
Yeah,
and crazy. She's, you know, running things in the background.
It's funny because, you know, I don't know if you watch it, but Ballers on HBO.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you haven't watched that show, you know, be prepared that there are some adult content on there. So, you know, maybe not watch it with your small children. But the show itself is actually phenomenal. It really goes kind of behind the scenes. I don't know how factual it is or not, but it's either way, I don't care if it's factual or not. It's entertaining. As all heck. And, you know, obviously, in the latest seasons, I won't give too much away because you watch it, but you know, The Rock is, his character on the show is looking into buying an NFL team. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, he has this show, this make-believe Hollywood, you know, fictional show, and now he owns an entire football league.
Yeah, an entire league.
So you think about thoughts of that.
There's not many people who own a league. Like, most leagues are not, they're like a bunch of individuals grouped together as teams. But yeah, the entire league is owned by these two. And obviously Redbird Capital as well as the third partner there. Yeah. And again, it popped out of nowhere, just kind of blew up on social media. And I think it's a great, everything The Rock touches, I mean, it turns to gold. It does very well either in the box office, WrestleMania, any business venture. He owns a tequila company, I believe, and they've made millions and millions of dollars. So I have no doubt they'll be back next spring, and I probably won't rebrand, but with him behind it, I think it's going to do very well, and I'm excited to have spring football back.
Yeah, I think with him being there and being the face of it, I think that's going to encourage a lot of players to pursue that option if they're, you know, not, you know, able to make it to the NFL. I think that it just adds like an extra kind of cherry on top of the situation. Yeah. And I feel like with Dwayne Johnson being, you know, obviously, you know, for the few people that don't know his background, obviously he started as a, you know, his dad, a famous wrestler as well. But I mean, football was, you know, his thing. And, you know, like University of Miami, you know, the guy knows how to play football. He loves and is hardcore passionate about football. And then, you know, obviously made the transition to entertainment business with WWE and things like that. But I mean, like, yeah, I think if there's anyone that knows how to, that should hopefully be able to know how to run a league. So if you got Danny Garcia running the business side, the number side, and then you've got operational and how can we promote this and how can we come up with cool rules and things like that to make it entertaining. I mean, that on paper looks to be like one heck of an all-star lineup.
It does. Wonder if Vince McMahon will still have anything to do with it, since there's that WWE or WWF connection back when he was in it, or some type of advising role, or if he's just completely out of the XFL. It'll be something to keep track of moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know if you. I haven't seen who is technically associated with the Redbird Capital side of things. I'm a little surprised that, for $15 million, I'm kind of surprised that they needed a third party.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, The Rock could do that without even thinking about it, be like me giving you $5. So $15 million is literally, he's got, cars that cost more than that. But, I'm wondering if there's some strategic, business partners that are associated with Redbird Capital there.
Probably.
So, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you're right. Hopefully, it is back. I wonder if there'll be a name change or something like that that goes with it. And yeah, you mentioned Vince McMahon. To my knowledge, I believe those two are still we like in pretty good relationship with each other. It's been a while since I've watched wrestling. I used to watch it pretty much every week as a kid. Was a massive Rock fan growing up, but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he still, obviously makes some surprise appearances at, WrestleMania and things like that from time to time. So I know that people say Vince McMahon isn't the easiest guy to get along with, but it sounds like they have still a pretty
It's
good,
a good
decent relationship.
relationship.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe he's part of Redbird or something like that, but we'll see. Anyways, all right, so let's throw the checkered flag. Any final thoughts for tonight?
Oh, wow. Final thoughts. It's nice to have sports back on TV, and it does feel like March Madness. There's some sport on almost from noon to midnight every day right now.
Yeah.
So at least working at home, it's really nice having TV around and do some work, watch some sports. And after, wow, 3, 4 months of nothing of live sports on TV, at least. Yeah, it's nice to have it back. So I'm happy. I don't mind working from home at all. It's good.
Yeah, I'm not hating the
Not
work from
complaining.
home either. That's not too bad, not too shabby. Yeah, it definitely feels that. There might be a lot of marriage counseling after if relationships weren't strained already,
Yeah.
just due to the nature of COVID and close quarters and not having, not the ability to go out and do normal life. Now you've got every sports fan in America is glued to their TV pretty much all day, every day for what could be months at a time. So my wife was like, "Wait a minute, you're watching another baseball game?" And I'm like, first off, it's baseball. You should be used to this. But I'm like, baseball's always there. But yeah, I'm like, I'm like, it's pretty much every night of the week.
Yeah,
And
every night
then, the
something's
one
on.
night there wasn't, the Blackhawks are playing. And
And
so
life is good.
yeah. So yeah, that'll be interesting. But anyways, all right, well, let's call it a night. Dave, it's been fun. Looking forward. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some new fresh content. And yeah, hopefully we'll get Matt back on there. He can wrap up some business deals tonight. So good luck for that. But yeah, have a good one. We'll see you soon.
Night, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoy the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.